to another episode of Ignite Your Power, the Kathy Mao podcast. Today, I'm so excited and honored to have a guest, Dan Aguilera, a dating coach who specializes in helping single male entrepreneurs break free from negative dating cycles. Dan empowers high-achieving men to build authentic confidence, master emotional intelligence, and communicate in ways that create genuine, lasting connection. Through his signature program, Dating Mastery for Entrepreneurs, he helps clients elevate not only their love life, but also their overall mindset and personal power. In this episode, we're going deep into the patterns that hold people back, practical tools you can use to create meaningful relationships while staying aligned with your professional goals. Whether you're single, dating, or simply looking to strengthen your communication skills, this conversation will inspire you to lead with authenticity and attract what you truly desire. So hi, Dan. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to get a male perspective of dating and like tapping into the male, I guess, psyche a little bit, and just to see, because we are different in the way we analyze or take in, and even having emotional intelligence, right? Like, males just think differently, and it's just programmed in you guys. So before we dive into dating strategies, can you share your personal journey? What inspired you to work with single male entrepreneurs and create Dating Mastery for Entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so a little background on me. Growing up, my parents divorced when I was pretty young, so I didn't have a father present in my life growing up to teach me healthy masculine traits, and I didn't have any immediate male family members. So you could say I grew up with sort of what's now called the nice guy syndrome. And in my adolescence, that led me to be very shy and insecure in general, and especially with women. And as I got into my college years, into my early 20s, my lack of success with women started to take a toll on my mental health and my self-esteem. And I didn't realize how bad it was at the time. Like an example, in my college years, I was in a fraternity, and Grant, of course, we used to have a lot of parties, and all the guys I knew were always getting girls, getting dates, having sex, and just having so much success with these girls. And I tried my best to step out of my comfort zone, ask girls out, and I would just get shut down every time. The only girls who seemed to like me were the girls I wasn't interested in. So I'm like, what is wrong with me? There's something inherently wrong with me. Just what is it? As I got deeper into my 20s, I did a lot of reading about dating books, did listen to some podcasts, started following some dating coaches online. I started learning about female psychology. And you were just saying how we're very different. I started to learn how women think very emotionally, whereas men think very logically. And that was a huge aha moment for me. And I just got really just started drowning in this sea of like self-help and dating psychology content. And I really loved it. And my dating life started to improve as a result. I started to make myself a priority. I started to specify what I'm looking for in a partner. And the stress and the anxiety and the negative content that I was seeing online, like getting, because as I was studying, I came across some negative stuff, what's now called the red pill content, which really villainizes women. So realizing, finding that all out for myself, I decided I wanted to make it my life's mission to coach other men through it. Because let's face it, we live in a world where men aren't really encouraged to express their emotions, especially with dating. They're taught that they have to be successful with women in order to be perceived as high value. So that teaches, that forces them to have to conjure up these stories about female success and great dating strategies and relationships. And it makes men feel very insecure, and they try very hard to hide it. So I want guys to know that they have someone to talk to, because sometimes male friends aren't the best for that. Us men don't always boost each other up in the ways we should. So I want to be that coach, that friend, that buddy in their corner as they go through the modern dating process and deal with things like ghosting and just not prioritizing you, giving you the runaround. So when someone else is not prioritizing you, I think you have to prioritize yourself. And that's the case always. So I just want to be that friend, that coach that I wish I had in my early years of dating.
I love that. And I love how you're helping males, and it's so needed. Like what you said, men feel like they have to get a lot of women in order to feel high valued. But that's such a vicious cycle, because if you think about it, It's like being a player, but it's not good and healthy for both the females or males being in that situation, because then women feel used and abused, and it's like a whole cycle of negativity that we all shouldn't even have to go through, right? It's like the dating game is not fun. And I think when we talked about this before, is like I mentioned, I was like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to go date anymore. And you're like, well, that's the thing. Everybody has a negative connotation about dating. And why is that? Why do you think that there's so much negativity about dating?
So going into, especially with high performing men, entrepreneurs, successful businessmen, a big reason that I see they get discouraged is because they tend to be very outcome oriented. When they approach a woman, ask a woman out, their main goal is to get her number and get her on a date. And if she doesn't want to give her number, doesn't want to go out with him, they view it as I failed, and they start to internalize that rejection, and it becomes really painful. So they feel that getting a girlfriend, getting into a relationship, I'll never have to deal with all that again. I won't have to experience that hurt again. I can just have somebody that's always going to love me, always going to boost my ego. And that's just such a backwards way to approach dating, because if you don't love yourself, if you don't have that confidence within yourself and approach a woman with the mindset of, I wonder what she's like, rather than I just need to go out with her because she's so beautiful and she would make my life so much better, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak, and you're going to internalize very negative and toxic feelings that are only going to pedal you backwards towards achieving your goals. So it's a huge mindset shift that, again, society doesn't promote that. A lot of content online, movies, TV shows don't teach us to think that way. So that's why I feel that my approach is going to be very beneficial to me.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you give that perspective, because it is all about self-love, though. You can't have that ego get in the way of you doing something, because in the end, it's hurting yourself and the person that you're talking to or trying to get your number, per se, or trying to get that connection. It really is about self-love. And a lot of men, I don't know how much you guys do love yourselves. I feel like men do love yourselves, meaning you guys set boundaries. You guys already are taught certain ways to, I guess, per se, have your own little bubble. And women are already taught at a young age to like give to others or whatever it may be, right? Society already has what male and females should play a certain role in. So, but the both thing that we all need is self-love, like women not to cater to other people, and then men not to get in their ego self and be like, oh, how is this person going to make me and boost my confidence? And, you know, it all comes within. Another person cannot make you feel a certain way. Only you can make yourself feel a certain way, right?
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you teach people. Right.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned boundaries, because you'd be surprised how many men lack those boundaries. And that's a huge handicap in the dating process, especially with a beautiful woman. They feel they can't say no to her. They fear losing her. So they compromise on their boundaries in order to just receive her approval. And they don't even realize they're doing it. So boundary setting is a big proponent of my coaching program.
Wow, boundaries. I guess, yeah, in certain situations, yes, right? In the case or scenario you gave is like that woman's so beautiful, so they just put down their boundaries to make this woman happy, to just make sure that they have her in their lives, which is very toxic as well. Yeah.
Especially if you were from like me growing up with all women, I was always taught to always please a woman, you know, purely because she's a woman, you have to, whatever she desires, you have to give her. Like, you know, you just have to compromise on your own needs and your own desires just for her. And there are men who take that to an extreme, the men who just don't have boundaries, don't have self-esteem and fear losing her. It's like, well, how is she contributing to your life? How is she enhancing your life? Other than the fact that she's beautiful, they're beautiful women are a dime a dozen, let's face it. Really, what's in here, what you're feeling and how you want to receive love is the most important. So that's got to be top of the realm boundary. So that's what I teach guys.
Okay. I see that. Now I'm thinking it from a woman's point of view. So say if like, you know, And then that's a vicious cycle. You put value in someone's look. So this is why women feel like they have to look a certain way. Do you see how it's like a cyclical, like negativity right there? It's just so crazy. And it's very common. It is. It is what it is. But I love how we're talking about what is normalized, but it should not be normalized. So I love talking about this. And that's so toxic. And if you're teaching men to break free from that, that helps the men and the society to break free from the toxicity. So then it can bring better and more aware men. So the work that you're doing is really beautiful and amazing.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. And so you talk a lot about emotional intelligence. Why is it a game changer in dating, and how can men start developing it?
Yeah, it's very hard for men because, as I think I mentioned before, we're not taught to express our emotions. We're taught to suppress them because it's not seen as masculine. But the big thing with emotions, again, starting with the self, when you feel yourself, and this doesn't just have to do with dating, it could be with anything in life, work or family situations. When you feel an emotion coming, instead of reacting, just recognize it. Just recognize what it is. Anger, fear, depression maybe. Happiness, any type of emotion, recognize it and ask yourself why you're feeling this way and what do you need as a result of feeling this way? What will fix this? What will calm you down? So being aware of those emotions essentially helps destruct the words that come along with these emotions. Because let's face it, all of us, when we get really upset, sometimes we say things we don't mean, we exaggerate things. And so in that dating process, I teach guys to, when you start to feel a certain way about a woman, maybe she canceled a date on you, maybe she ghosted you, in more intense cases, if a woman cheated on you, just stop and ask yourself how you're feeling and what's the appropriate way to respond, not react. And once guys can master this, then they also become better at understanding women's emotions. Because the biggest thing is when they're arguing with a woman and she's communicating to him how she's feeling, it's just, as men, our biological instinct is to pull out our toolkit of rationalizations to, like, almost like a lawyer in a courtroom, to strike down your arguments and show you where you're wrong. No, you can't be mad at me for that, because look, I actually did do the dishes yesterday. See, they're all in there. See, X, Y, and Z. It's all logical. It all makes sense. And does that usually work out? More often than not, no. So yeah, emotional intelligence. It's a process. It's very hard for men. It's very hard for them to do it alone. And it's good to have somebody, again, like me, like a coach in your corner to help you through that. Learning from past experiences, current situations, learning, don't be so focused on fixing the problem, but understanding what you can learn from experiencing this emotion and learning about the emotions of others.
Ooh, experiencing that emotion. That's scary for a lot of people.
It is. Yeah. Like I said, what I teach is sort of, it could trigger some guys because it teaches them to think differently than what they've been trained to. It's challenging, limiting beliefs. So it's not, it's not going to go down like gravy. It can be kind of harsh, you really just become such a better man afterwards.
Yeah. Can you give us some tips or tools how we can navigate or help guide guys to be a little bit more in emotional intelligence? Obviously, it's not going to be like a game changer. This tool is going to change your life. But what are like some specific tools where you think that is very helpful for men to try to apply in their daily lives?
I think it's knowing when certain conflict arises, either with yourself, with a partner, with a friend, understanding when a solution involves logic and when it involves emotion. So when, if you're, say, a spouse comes home, or your girlfriend comes home and is mad because she didn't get a promotion, some other girl in the office who she fights with all the time got the promotion over her. Instead of trying to just make her feel better by saying, well, honey, I don't think you'd want that position anyway. It would take up too much time. You'd be working too much. We wouldn't be able to spend time together. You just got to apply to how she's feeling in the moment. Same thing like with an argument. Anytime you're uncertain with how to respond, or you want to connect with her on an emotional level, you just ask, well, I know it's going to make you sound like a therapist, but how does that make you feel? And then when the woman replies, say, and what do you think that says about you or the situation? You just delve into the deeper meaning. Just forget the logical facts. If a friend comes to you and is upset because a girlfriend dumped him, you don't want to just demean the woman and say, well, she wasn't really good for you anyway. Like, you know, just don't, it doesn't matter. The point is he still is sad because he lost her. He's still sad that the relationship's over. Pointing out logical facts is not going to change how he's feeling. Just relate to them on a more emotional level. Just ask questions. Well, how are you feeling right now? What could make you feel better? What do you think needs to change in your life so you can attract a different type of partner, somebody who won't do this to you, somebody who will treat you with more respect?
Yeah, those why questions are super simple, but super helpful. And it helps get into the deeper meaning of why you think a certain way, or it gets to your belief system, which is really cool. But I guess you have to train your mind to think that way, or to even ask those questions, because a lot of us don't. We're not going to be like, why do you feel that way? You know, it's just like usually our reaction takes over and you're like, stop thinking that way, or stop acting this way. Kind of more demanding, instead of having the space and the emotional intelligence or the patience to be like, okay, what is going on? Why are you feeling this way? Or why are you frustrated? Or why are you upset? Right. But we're usually on the other end of attacking, because we ourselves have not done the inner work, or even aware enough to give other people space. And so the more we teach people about this, the more I feel like the collective will change and be more aware and better at, you know, talking and interacting in general. And so dating would be less crazy. But I feel like it is, it's hard now, right? Because it's different. I know I sound so old, but I met my husband not through the dating app. It was before the dating apps came out. And so I don't know how that world and how that works nowadays. But yeah, do you feel like it makes it harder for you to connect or to talk to people or to find your partner? Since you can just swipe left or swipe right. I don't know how that works. Okay, I'm old, I guess. But whatever it may be, right? It makes it harder for you to like actually connect, instead of just judging them from just like the app.
Yeah, you don't feel the person's energy. You don't know anything about their personality. You're judging from pictures and just some whatever's in their bio. And also, it's so disproportionate when it comes to match rates. Men get such fewer matches than women. Women become inundated with these matches online. They end up usually deleting their account or making it inactive or just ghosting men. And that's another thing that leads to men feeling insecure, because if they send a message to somebody they think is cute and she doesn't reply, they start to think, oh, she thinks I'm ugly. Oh, I'm not funny enough. Oh, I'm not charismatic enough. In reality, she probably has 20 other guys message her at the exact same time you did. And she's just like, oh, I need to turn my phone off. I can't deal with this. So that's why I'm not a huge advocate for dating apps. I think I encourage guys to do things the old-fashioned way. Get involved in your community. Get involved in your passions. Meet women in person. The process is so much better that way. The vetting process is easier too. Dating apps is just, it is much more challenging. So yeah, you're not missing much there.
I know. I feel that. And it's hard. It's really different. And I feel like with the dating apps, it makes you more judgmental too, right? Like, oh, there's a flaw. I don't like this. And then swipe. But like, if you actually meet somebody in person, you're going to have an engaging conversation. You're not going to focus on the like minute little things that you wouldn't even notice. You know, if you're talking to somebody, you're not going to be like, oh my God, this word or this bio is not what I like.
You don't scrutinize them as much. I never thought of that actually, but yeah, that's a great point.
Right. You're actually gonna just be in their presence and feel their energy and get their bio in a person with feeling the way you guys both communicate. But right, you guys nowadays just like, oh, this bio says this. I don't like it. Bye. Swipe. Right. And then it's like so easy to just judge. And I feel like it makes it more judgmental instead of more connection. And so that's why it's so hard to date now.
Connection has to be made in person.
Yeah. Right. So it's very interesting how that works nowadays. So what do you feel like it would be more helpful if, say, someone feels not confident enough to find somebody at doing the old-fashioned way? Because a lot of people don't feel comfortable or not confident enough. So they do rely on finding people on apps, right? And so what would you give them some encouragement or some tips about if they don't have that confidence, how do they build that up and, you know, be better in building it, knowing that the app is not the best way, but how would you lead a client to be like, okay, yeah, you're just finding all these women on the apps. That's why it's shotting your ego or making you feel less. What kind of advice would you give them to step into their confidence and to meet someone in person instead?
Well, that I would have to delve into what exactly the fear is. Like, what's behind that fear? Is it an appearance aspect? Is it a personality aspect? Because, I mean, if it's an appearance thing, I could always help. I'm into style, so I do help guys dress better. You know, I help with wardrobe analysis and things like that. But if it's more of an internal confidence issue, I really just ask questions to disrupt the limiting beliefs that they have about themselves and ask them to challenge those beliefs. So, for example, if they have just anxiety about asking a woman on a date or they have a real fear of rejection and they really are not that social, I'll say to them, well, I want you to just get out of your house this week and just go up to a random person. Doesn't have to be a person you're attracted to. In fact, it's better if it's not a person you're attracted to. Just make simple conversations. How's your day going? You know, ask what their name is. If you're meeting in a convenient location, an area where you can just get comfortable in talking to people, and just do that. Just start to get to know some people. In grocery stores, stop people and ask, you know, where do you have the flour? What aisle is the, where's the vegetable? Where's the produce section? Stop and ask for directions. If you're in a coffee shop, you can stop, ask a patron, say, hey, do you come here frequently? Would you recommend anything? Some people may not be receptive to you, and that's okay. It's an awkward approach. It's sort of like you're getting in the pool when you know it's ice cold, and you just got to wait for it to warm up for a minute or so. So, yeah, guys who have that much social anxiety, I would give that type of advice. But whatever their exact fear is, like past traumas, past relationships, I just delve deep into what has caused them to feel insecure. And we just kind of just pull it apart, almost like Jenga. We just pull that, whatever, picture a Jenga block. This is the first time I ever thought of this analogy, but picture like a Jenga block. And we just kind of keep picking at blocks. Each question I ask is a block. And then eventually it just crashes. So that limiting belief is gone. It doesn't happen that quickly, but that's my method.
I love that. I like that analogy. That's pretty cool. Thanks for sharing that. That makes a lot of sense. So what's the difference between authentic confidence and the kind of confidence that can actually push people away?
Yeah, well, I think this is where the whole alpha male mindset comes in, because let me tell you, when I started reading dating advice, everything was talking about to be the alpha male. Essentially, you got to make a lot of money. You got to be so secure in who you are, not have a care in the world, approach women like, part of my language, but approach women like you're the shit and like nothing bothers you. And again, this goes back to men suppressing their emotions and suppressing their, and I've come to love this word, vulnerability. Suppressing their vulnerability, being afraid to put themselves out there. Acting like nothing bothers them and just trying to be perfect, I think is that shows fake confidence. Like when a woman is testing you, and we all know women test, like often through texting, if she's going to be late for a date or she tries to plan a date and you just kind of ignore it and let it roll off your back like it doesn't bother you, what that subcommunicates to her is that you're really pliable and that you're just willing to go along with whatever she says. However, if you very respectfully and assertively say, hey, you know, my time is precious, please, I appreciate it if you could try your best to be on time, or, you know, I'm trying to schedule this date with you, you haven't given me a confirmation. If you're not interested, please let me know. That's okay. I just don't want you to leave me hanging like this. That's something I use with women a lot. I don't like to be kind of left in the dark. I joke that, you know, when it comes to a rejection, I want either a firm yes or a firm no. Don't leave me hanging like, oh, I'll let you know type of thing. I just respectfully say like, all right, well, that's fine. Again, if you're not interested, you could just let me know that. I just want to know for sure. No problem. But yeah, I say, but as far as true confidence goes, embracing vulnerability, accepting yourself for who you are and accepting your flaws, not trying to cover them up.
Yeah. And that takes a lot of inner work and confidence and to really know yourself and be okay with all the flaws. And the funny thing is, when you date, you think you have to be the perfect version of yourself. So it gives you a lot of pressure. So both sides give each other that pressure. But why don't we come at it as like, let's just go and see what the other person's flaw is and if I can handle it or not. And if you can, then that means there's something there. And we all have flaws. We're all imperfect, but it's like the capacity that you can handle them or not. And I think about this with my husband because I'm like, I'm sure every partner, right? You get annoyed with them with certain things and you're just like, oh my gosh, how did I just end up with this person? But it's like, I'm able to actually handle it. I'm okay with it. Yes, it annoys me, but it's not like a break deal thing that I'm going to leave him for, you know? But if you notice that you can deal with the annoying things of them, that means you have something more there. And I feel like a lot of people nowadays can't even get to that point. And it's like, oh, you have one flaw. All right, bye.
Well, this kind of comes back to the dating apps you were talking about, and because I think it has given the illusion, us both men and women, the illusion that we have so many options so that we're less forgiving. So yeah, that's a big negative with dating apps. So yeah, like you, and I think you just mentioned, like, you can bond over your flaws. You can bond over your vulnerabilities. It draws you close. It draws you closer.
Yeah.
It really forms that emotional connection, not just the I'm so perfect.
Yeah, and we should come at it in that way. And I think it's just in general, it doesn't even have to be dating, even friendships, right? Like, we should all talk about our flaws, or I know it may be weird, but like, what makes us quirky? What makes us unique? And we should be all accepting of our unique qualities. And that should be like what we should focus on and be like, oh my God, that's so cool. You can do that. Yeah, that's weird, but that's cool. That makes you who you are. Instead of like, the similarities we all look for. I guess, of course, similarities make community and it makes you connect with one another, but we should start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable of like being with someone from different, you know, like environments and stuff. I feel like that's how things will really change, but it's going to be hard. It's going to take a lot of self-development for people to do. Right? It's not going to be easy for people to want to connect and put themselves out there. But that's the ideal situation for me to, in order for us to change, right? Being accepting of the other side. Because we're so, I know it's kind of tangent, but it just, our society right now, our whole world is just so polar opposites that's why we're so far and negative from being a community, loving one another, being in a peaceful environment. It's just so toxic and negative because we are trained to divide, right? And to look for each other's flaws and make it a negative thing instead of seeing it as a positive.
And it's protection. It's protection from vulnerability. It's protection from exposing yourself to potential harm. It's heartbreak. So again, limiting beliefs, that's the benefit of them. They keep you protected. They keep you safe, but they also prevent you from getting what you want.
Yeah. Breaking free from those limiting beliefs. So what are some practical ways men can communicate authentically without coming across as needy or overconfident?
Again, going back to boundaries, that's just like a huge boundary. Like what we were talking about when it comes to meeting somebody, scheduling a date, coordination, any type of physicalities. You know, of course, women set boundaries too. It's necessary for both sides. But simply, you know, neediness is when you're just seeking the other person's approval because you need their approval to feel better about yourself. When a man really internalizes what he needs and says, the person I date needs to have these qualities and needs to respect these boundaries, he just becomes a much more empowered man, and he loses that neediness, maybe slowly, but it starts to go away. So as much as women say all the time, like, you know, oh, a man who does that is controlling, or he's bossy, or he's so intolerant. In reality, you know, we've all come to realize by now, women prefer a man who sets healthy boundaries over somebody who's just a yes man. Would you agree with that?
Yes, of course. You never want a man just to say yes. It's very annoying. And it just makes you, I've had a lot of males who was a yes man. And it's just such a turnoff. Like, you really can't think for yourself, really? You really need to ask me for everything? Or you need me to, you know, like, it just feels like you don't have a person there anymore. You have a robot saying, yes, yes, I can do it. I will do it. You know, and it's like, Oh, I don't need that. I don't want that. Like, are you going to use your own intelligence to let me know what you truly feel or think? Like, that's what's more attractive. It's like actually being with another person. That's why I love my partner. He is very straightforward about what he thinks and what he wants, and he will not break free from it. That's for sure. Like, if I tell him something, it's like, no, I will do what I need to do, in a healthy way. So that's attractive. Yeah. The yes man.
Other
So,
people can't respect you if you can't respect yourself. It took
correct.
me a long time to learn that in my own personal life.
Yeah, you are the energy that you give out, and you will receive that energy, and people feel it. No matter how much you think you're doing the right thing, it's not right, and you will see that. You will always get rejected. You will always get like the negative aspect of everything. So when you, and that's a good sign right there. If you keep getting rejected or something negative, notice what's the pattern that you keep doing that you should notice, and that's the negative thing that you should work on and change about that, right? Like, say, I don't know, if you're a yes person, like if you're always saying yes, notice why do you always say yes, and then change that. Try saying no one time and see what happens, and then I'm sure the your partner will be like, oh wow, you actually. They'll probably be mad at first, like, what? You said no to me, but then they'll find it attractive. Like, dang, you actually spoke up. Then you have your boundaries, and yeah, it's very healthy. But good for you that you figured that out for yourself, right? Did it come to a realization, like, oh my gosh, I keep saying yes? Or what was it that made you figure that out?
It was a fear of abandonment, a fear of having somebody not like me. I feel so pathetic saying that now, but that's really where the yes man comes in. It's just a fear of being disliked. But what I eventually accepted was the fact that, yeah, telling people no or just setting those boundaries is going to turn people away, some people away from me, but it's going to turn the wrong people away from me, and it's going to attract the right people to me. Not just in my romantic life, but in my friend group and my, family members, well, just your social circle. You attract the healthy people you want in your life, and you remove the toxic people. And it's pretty like effortless. Once you kind of practice it a little bit or get the hang of it, it's beautiful. It's like you're almost like on autopilot after that. It's not something you have to actively think about.
Yeah, it's like any habit or belief system that you're trying to change or shift. That's awesome. I'm proud of you for doing that. You're doing the hard work. So, could you share a client success story that really illustrates how your program works and the transformation that's possible?
Yeah, one guy I know, his big problem, well, he was a lot like me in the sense that he was insecure around women and he had a hard time with talking with girls. And whenever he got rejected, he took it very personally. And his best strategy for meeting women was to go out with his buddies every weekend to a club and approach these really hot women who had nothing better to offer but their looks. And he really didn't get far with them. They would just totally ignore him, or they'd give him their number and then ghost him. And he just felt really depressed about that. And I had to like kind of ask him, like, well, what do all these women who are like giving you that type of disrespectful treatment, what do they have in common? Where are you? What type of environments are you meeting them in? Who are you with? Look at what your friends are doing. Yeah, your friends are getting drunk and horsing around like they're college kids. Meanwhile, they're guys in their 30s. What do you think that says about you if you're hanging around with these people? So he had to start cutting off communication with those guys and stop hanging out with them and pick up healthier hobbies. Joined a religious group, started picking up some sports, yoga classes, Pilates classes, started meeting healthy, beautiful women, but women, they were also beautiful on the inside, started developing those great connections and stopped caring about outcomes. He was able to just have communications with women and ask for their number, not caring whether or not she said yes or no, because he knew it wasn't going to affect his self-worth. So he's doing really well now. He's very just so confident. I've seen him make tremendous progress. I'm very proud.
That's amazing. I love hearing stories like that. And again, that's another story of you are who you hang around with, or your energy. Like, what types of people are you hanging around with? They're either going to drain you or they're going to give you energy. And he was in the wrong place with the wrong people. And I have a lot of people or clients who do this, and they're just like, I'm working on myself. Why are things not changing? And then it's, and then I ask him, I'm like, well, what else is changing beside you? Like, who are you hanging out with? And they're like, oh, the same people from high school. Like, and I'm like, are you, what do you guys talk about? And like, you know, nothing in depth. It's all about complaining and et cetera, like negative energy things. And I'm like, right there. Hello. If you guys cannot, if you cannot grow yourself with the people around you, they're literally draining you. They're complaining and you're giving that energy to them. So they're draining your energy. So you're not able to like manifest the things that you want, say a partner, if you wanted that. Right. And you don't have energy and time for that. So that's beautiful that you made him aware of that and he was able to change his surroundings and get the outcome that he wants. And we can all do this. We can all do this work. But are you ready to take yourself out of your comfort zone and to step into the new you and to step into new places that you're not familiar with? A lot of us aren't. Right. So yeah, that was great. I love that. So for men listening today who want to start making changes right away, what are three actionable steps they can take to improve their dating life and attract the right partner?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because on my website, as a matter of fact, I have an Entrepreneur's Dating Strategy ebook. It's a free downloadable ebook. So there's five strategies, but the three that I think are the most important. Number one, like we've been talking about a lot, shifting your mindset, removing those limiting beliefs. Just stop listening to the angry content online. Just stop absorbing the negativity and thinking that all women are money-hungry gold diggers or that they're selfish or mean and that you're not deserving of love. Just rid yourself of that and challenge those beliefs. Go for it anyway. You'll be surprised at the transformation that's possible. And the second is self-awareness. This is something that men really need to start harnessing more, because like we talked about earlier, guys just go into it with a shotgun approach. I just want to get any woman that I find mildly attractive. I want to collect her like a trophy, and that's going to validate me and improve my self-worth. But when you got to stop and ask yourself, what do I really want in a woman? What are the qualities I must have? What are my ideal but negotiable qualities? And what are absolute deal breakers? Make that list out and then start to think about where you see a woman fitting in your life. What type of activities would you do together? Where are you going to meet her? How much time are you going to be able to spend with her in balance with your work schedule? And the third would be improving your communication skills and your emotional intelligence. You know, we talked about that a lot, but that's a huge one. Connecting with women on an emotional level is what's going to create that bond and lead to more successful dates, lead to an easier courtship, really. It really cuts out the drama and the fighting and just all this negativity, all this toxicity. When you can really read each other's emotions, it's a big game changer. But again, this is hard for guys to do on their own. So that's why I really want to be here to be in there with that.
That's awesome. I love that so much. And do you have any last things that you wanted to share, or a last message you wanted to share with the listeners before we end this?
No, I want to help start creating a generation of empowered men. I strive for empowerment, not victimization. So I really encourage everyone to visit my website and download that ebook. It's really very helpful. It's a very brief read. And start implementing the strategies, and I really want to be able to help guys on a personal level. So if you just visit my website, there's a book a call page. I just encourage you to book a call with me. I want to be able to tailor my approach to you specifically, because you know what? Helping other men helps me grow as well. It just really makes me feel good to be making in men's lives and in women's lives as a result.
Exactly. It's the work that you're doing is awesome. Like I said in the beginning, where you're helping men grow, be better, be more emotionally intelligent. And that's what is needed, really. And then if men are making themselves better, then women get to benefit from it too. So it's like a cycle of amazingness. I will put all of your links in the show notes below. And thank you for being here and sharing your knowledge. It was so inspiring, and I learned a lot about why men think the way they do and how we can change it and make this work more doable for men. And even talking about it is already opening up a lot of doorways, because men feel like they shouldn't be able to open up and talk about these things and work on themselves. Like, it's not needed, but it is really needed. So thanks for putting in that work and doing this awesome work for our world.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me, Kathy. This was really great. I hope men who need to hear this message are listening. And I really want to make a difference in their lives. So thank you again for having me on.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me on Ignite Your Power, the Kathy Mao podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, take a deep breath and know this, you're exactly where you're meant to be. If you're feeling called to go deeper, I'd love to support you. You can work with me one-on-one or book a numerology guidance card reading with me. All are in the show links below. And if this episode supported you in any way, please share with someone who needs it, leave a review, or take a screenshot and tag me on social media. Your support helps this message reach more souls who are ready to step into their power. Until next time, keep choosing yourself, keep trusting your journey, and keep living your bliss-soft life. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!